The following is a Cast Wave Studios production.
I'm your captain, Sean Holmes.
And I'm your first officer, Brian Massey.
Our ongoing mission is to explore every Star Trek episode ever
in existence. Fascinating.
This is the Prime Directive.
Engage!
By Desilu.
Yay. All right. Thank you, Desilu. So, talking about Star Trek, we might as well get the old ship running here.
Yeah.
So I'm Sean.
It's almost like we have our own little holodeck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm Sean Holmes, and Captain Sean Holmes, and as my first officer, Brian Massey over here.
Greetings, Captain.
This is the Prime Directive. And, live long and podcast, as we say here.
Oh, dude, I like it.
Yep. And we're going to go over pretty much every Star Trek episode.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. If you listen to our last episode, we covered the pilot, The Cage.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on to every episode. So, what's the one next to that? And the next Netflix queue is...
The Man Trap.
So, mm-hmm. We'll discuss that in, after our short break.
We didn't leave you out, Colin. We're gonna have you on for that episode that you requested. So we're gonna talk about that in the future.
Exactly. We're gonna definitely talk about that.
Because we're nice like that.
Yes. in the news, I mean, this is not really news because
it's
not breaking news. But we're gonna say it since our show started after the news.
Mm.
Trekkies Rejoice, a new Star Trek series, is in the works at CBS.
Yes.
CBS Television Studios is announced already that it'll totally launch a new show in January 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It will be available exclusively on CBS. CBS's all-access video streaming service, subscription video streaming service. So,
that's...
Yeah, I know. And then, But it'll kick off its preview episode, and it'll air on broadcast TV.
So So let me get this straight. You're telling me that I'm gonna have to pay for some subscription service?
They'll give you a taste. The first one's free, and the next one goes in your mouth.
Okay, fine.
So,
I guess my point is this: look, man, when you have something already like Netflix, and you already have like Hulu Plus, and you already have these streaming sites that are established, it would probably behoove you to. Go there because nobody.
Those.
Look, okay. What else is on CBS? You have Survivor. You have NCIS with Polly Perrette. Like she's the only reason why anybody watches. And then you have.
I don't know
like,
why they couldn't just make a quick buck and just sell
and
it to Netflix.
Like The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, man. That's like the only three reasons to watch it. Plus the news, maybe. But like, I don't know. Like, why not put that on the TV? Like people will watch that and then put that on your shitty streaming service site.
Yeah, exactly.
if people
want to pay to watch the episodes again, which
they will,
if it's good, if we notice it's good by your shoes, we will.
I mean, don't dangle that carrot over our freaking heads, man. Like, come on, like
it's no fair. It really is.
I'm not gonna pay freaking $9 a month to watch one season of a Star Trek episode. Like, that's not even on broadcast TV. Are you shitting me? Like, it's one thing with, like, you know, like, Jessica Jones and Daredevil on Netflix, because, like, you get Netflix, and you have so much other stuff that you can watch. Which, by the way, Jessica Jones was amazing, not to talk about comics or anything, but, like, it would behoove them to put that on Netflix.
Right.
It would absolutely behoove them to put that on Netflix. From what I understand, they're saying that this is actually going to be set either... It's going to be one of two things, apparently. It's either going to be Captain Worf finally getting his own ship, which would be cool, or it would be Starfleet Academy.
Hmm.
It would be...
That sounds nice.
An expose on, like, you know, like... or rather, an episodic drama of cadets trying to get through Academy in San Francisco.
Cool.
So, and where they would set that, I have no idea. Like, what along what time frame would they do that? I don't know. Maybe it would be along the same timeline that, you know, has been established in J.J. Abrams' universe. Or maybe it would be set alongside, you know, like, this is the Enterprise E that they're trying to get on.
I mean...
And that
whole slew of a kind of seeing maybe... kind of brings up a kind of interesting question. If you could make your own Star Trek series, mm-hmm. like what it would be?
Yeah. Well, how about you start first?
I mean, I would start. I mean, obviously, we have tried before. We tried with the initial Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
It failed miserably. It's been a long time getting from here to there, getting from there to here. It's been a long time
getting from there to here.
Oh, God, the theme song.
I've got faith of the heart. God. Following WWE SmackDown.
yeah. No, I would put it probably post-Voyager.
Post-Voyager?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, you're just going in further like, into the future.
Yeah.
I mean, no one knows what's going to happen, so...
I mean, here's what I would think, because have you ever read Countdown? Star Trek Countdown? It was literally the prequel to... It was a story leading up to Leonard Nimoy being sent to that alternate universe with Nemo in the 2009 movie.
I haven't got a chance to catch that.
I'll let you borrow it. Basically, Picard's retired, and Data's taken over the Enterprise E.
Hmm.
As the captain, or rather, B9 has taken over with the same, personality as Data, because I guess they assimilated or whatever. Because remember, Data died in freaking Nemesis, and so Leonard Nimoy is basically saying, "Hey, you know, Romulus is about to get fucked over, and we need to help them out." And like, basically, the planet blows up, and yada yada yada, leads into all that crap. That'd be a cool, okay, fine, this is where the timeline diverged, and this is where Leonard Nimoy went. How does the rest of the universe work after that? Like, Romulus explodes, and, you know, we still have this crew going forward. Is that what you're saying, that they might want to...
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting angle for them to do.
It would be an interesting angle. I mean, mainly, it's going to be kind of a smaller ship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not going to be really much going on the ship as opposed... I mean, it's going to be a fairly large ship.
What would be cool is if it was like a science kind of thing, like the Reliant.
Right.
You know, like a smaller crew.
Exactly. It's going to be a smaller crew.
Yeah, like the same kind of model of ship that like Khan took over in Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, so this is going to be only a couple of like a main full of characters, but...
Skeleton crew.
But they're going to go way more places. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking like different planets in a single Ooh. Episode.
What if
like something that requires them to move around as much as they can?
What if the Federation had a spec ops team?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, like a drop down kind of like a Navy SEALs kind of like division. That'd be.
I'm thinking
that'd be cool because it's
they're scouting. Basically, they're scouting for.
And also, what they're doing is like, what if they? Oh, well, they're scouting and they're looking for what?
Well, essentially, they're looking for plants to terraform.
Okay, that'd be cool. My idea is a little more along the lines of like, hey, we have this hostile situation that we need to defuse without alerting fucking anybody on this planet, and we only have so much time to do it. We're sending this crew, we're dropping them down, we're getting the guy out of there, and we're fucking leaving without leaving a trace.
Oh.
Something like that, maybe.
Oh, I think that would make a good movie.
That'd be cool.
That'd be a good Star Trek movie.
I mean, I think that like Star Wars is doing something like that with Rogue One.
Yeah.
But... Here's what my idea would be. I think this would be really cool, but then again, I also think that getting the Eighth Doctor, his own Doctor Who series in the summer would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the Enterprise B. Do a full on like season, like numerous seasons kind of television series chronicling the Enterprise B. Because remember, we have John Harriman on board now. whether or not we could get back freaking, you know, Cameron from Ferris Bueller for this is beyond me. I have no idea. He's already done fan films, though, which is really cool. But it'd be really cool if we could get the Enterprise B and we could get, you know, like Sulu's daughter. Because here's the cool thing. They've actually done books about the Enterprise B, and they've actually gone into what happens with the Enterprise B. And I think it'd be really cool if they did a TV series. Basically, Harriman goes insane and basically goes AWOL. And then his daughter, Sulu's daughter, actually becomes the captain of the Enterprise B. And the final voyage involves them being stuck out in the middle of freaking nowhere. And this virus just taking over everything. And it just kind of just kills everybody on board. And it's just set adrift in the middle of space nowhere.
Hmm.
And, like, the Enterprise B is just never seen again. And then the same kind of bullshit happened with the Enterprise C. So, like, that'd be really cool. It's like, hey, you know, we have the Enterprise, you know, NC-1701. We have the A and we have the D. Let's see what happened with B and C.
That'd be interesting.
You know, fill in the blanks on that.
Yeah, because there is a bit of gap between what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly during the, let's see.
Like, okay, let me ask you this. Like, okay, it's established on, you know, Next Gen that the Klingons are part of the Federation. How did that happen? Okay, fair enough. We saw in, what was it, Undiscovered Country?
Undiscovered Country, 1991 on Star Trek.
Yeah, they kind of, that was the beginning of like a peace accord between
the
Federation and Klingons.
And the Generations prologue, Stardate it was like 95-00, but you know, in real world 2293.
Mm-hmm. Like my thing is this, we see the seeds of that union being planted. What are some of the events that led to that? Or, like, what were some of the hiccups, maybe, that, like... Because you gotta know, when you get the Federation and the Klingon Empire together, there's going to be missteps, there's going to be bumps, there's going to be cues, and, like...
There is quite a bit... I mean, it has to take place between years 2287 and Undiscovered Country 2293. So there's a couple of years there that need to be accounted for.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would think it would make a great between mm-hmm. Final Frontier... and the prologue of next generation, prologue of generations.
Yeah.
So that would be placed well there. So yeah, I'm excited for the new show. I'm a bit disappointed that it's on a stupid streaming service.
I mean, yeah, that.
I mean, that's an ass move. That's a dick move.
I mean,
we can be Netflix too.
Boo. Yeah. It's like, no, you know what? Here's my thing too.
Are you kidding me?
Something I've kind of noticed, I don't know if you know this, or, well, I don't know, how do you feel about this? It seems as though Star Trek fans aren't as ravenous as they used to be. It's like, yes, there's still hardcore Star Trek fans out there, but it just seems as though, like, the fan base, at least from what I've noticed, it's not as, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as prevalent as it used to be, especially in the 90s, man. Like, the 90s, I would argue, was, like, one of the golden ages for Star Trek. Obviously, the 60s and 70s, you know, were a really booming age for Star Trek fans because they helped bring the series back. They helped, you know, through a petition campaign, they brought back Star Trek in motion picture form. And then it just kept going on, and you had all these series come out in the 90s that were syndicated. And it was just a rabid fan base, but it just seems like nowadays you're getting one movie every so often, and it just seems as though people still love Star Trek. Yeah, but it just, I don't know. Like, you felt it kind of drop off.
Like, yeah. It dropped off TV.
It kind of felt
sort,
like...
It sort of went to...
yeah, and spring. I think it all began with Enterprise. And here's my thing, too. The reason why I bring this up is because you have... You're assuming that it's going to be that ravenous of a fan base that's going to buy into your thing. You assume, oh, we'll be fine because there's a huge populace of Star Trek fans out there. Yes, fine, but are they going to be so rabid enough as, you know, and hungry enough for Star Trek content that they're going to pay like $9 a month for your shitty streaming service?
Yeah, I mean,
like that's the reason why I bring this up. It's like it seems like they're, you know, counting their
age. I'm
going to
look up how much your streaming service costs.
Because, I don't know. Like, I'm basing it off of, like, Netflix and, like, WWE.com or whatever.
$6 per month.
Okay, that's not terrible.
Yeah.
That's not terrible. Again, though, like, what are you really getting? Because you're not getting any, like, NFL games or anything like that they would stream. You're not getting...
You're basically... You're getting... you're getting basically anything that airs on CBS. So we're talking about Big Bang Theory. We're talking about a lot of this other stuff. I guess they offer you a week free trial or whatever.
Not a big fan of Big Bang Theory.
I'm okay with it.
It's fine. I'm just not a rat. Like, Rocky is a huge Big Bang Theory.
All the old episodes of The Twilight Zone, which you can get on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I don't see what the point is of that.
Do they have backs? Do they have
Everybody Hates Chris?
Do they have old episodes of Late Show with David Letterman?
They might. They also have.
I know the Worldwide Pants. Way off topic now, but I know that they kind of
7,500 episodes on demand. Wow. Okay, we have Two Broke Girls, 48 hours,
mm-hmm.
60 minutes.
Woo.
Yeah. I mean, there. Obviously, we talked about Big Bang.
Well, when I'm in my 60s, I'm going to be well set off.
A slew of CSIs. We got the final CSI, CSI Cyber, CSI. There's a bunch of stuff. I mean, Cheers reruns. What were you looking for?
So like, Late Show with David Letterman.
I mean, maybe.
Probably not. But my point is this. It's like, it just seems as though that's not a viable thing. Like, how many of those shows do you know that either A, you don't care about, or B, you can watch on Netflix?
I mean, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Generation.
But that's the thing. Star Trek already has a freaking deal with Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just put on the new one.
It just makes no sense. It really makes no sense.
Okay. So, that being said, do you want to get into the meat of the show, or do you want to talk geek a little bit more?
I don't know. Like, yeah, let's just feel it out for a second. And if geek's not happening, we can cut this out, and we can...
True. Very, 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 very true. Okay, in terms of the movies... I'm thinking, like, in the movie universe.
Yeah.
What?
Are you talking about the one that's been spun off by JJ? Or are you talking about the, are you talking about, like, 1 through 10?
1 through 10.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to be sure.
Like, 1 through 10, I would say, which one do you think is just the worst? Worst.
We're getting into this conversation, are we? Okay.
Yeah, the worst.
Tell you what, you go first on this one.
I'm going to have to say, without a doubt, Insurrection.
Mm.
Insurrection didn't really... I mean, the only good thing it had, and it shouldn't have this... I mean, this shouldn't be the highlight of your Star Trek movie, the humor. The humor was hysterical.
Mm.
It was funny. You know, Data going nuts with his little chip was hilarious.
Wasn't that in Nemesis?
No, that wasn't Nemesis.
Where he was, like, singing, like, you know, like, Gilbert and Sullivan songs or what the fuck ever?
No, that was in Insurrection.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because, like, they were tracking him down on the planet. Okay, that's right. It's been a while since I've seen
that. It's where he had his emotion chip, and he went all hysterical.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary for a second. But in terms of, like, the movie as a Star Trek movie, I'm like, okay, they didn't boldly go anywhere. They basically went to Amish planet.
Yeah.
And with people that don't... die.
We don't like technology.
They're immortal.
Yeah. Because I guess, like, the life force of the planet or whatever the fuck is, like, you know, keeping them young, and it gives Geordi sight and shit, and, like, I don't know. And, like, and Picard's like, ooh, I am going to dance the salsa. You know, it's like, what?
Have you ever seen a sunrise? I can actually read the rainbow. Sorry, I couldn't pass it up.
Okay, that was pretty fucking good. I know what face he makes during that scene too, so it's all the fucking funnier. He's just that, like, content smile where he's just like, damn, life is good.
Have you ever seen a sunrise? Okay. But don't just take my word for it.
But
and the hits keep on coming.
God damn it. No,
I'm writing that down. That's a sad effect we should have.
So, one of my biggest problems with that movie, and then I do have my own entry for this as well, and it's subject to change based as far as we go during the course of the show. But one of my biggest problems with this movie, okay, Insurrection, is the fact that you have this woman who's supposed to be Picard's love interest, and I can't remember what the fuck her name is. But long story short, there's like this spaceship thing that she gets dropped out of, and like, oh no, there's water, and like she doesn't know how to swim, and she's like over 100 years old at least. And okay, technology's one thing. I get it if you eschew technology and you don't know how to use a fucking gun or whatever. I get it. But you're going to tell me that when you're in a situation like this, you're in a colony like this where basic survival skills are not only, required, they're a fucking necessity. She's never learned how to swim once in her goddamn life. Are you shitting me?
Right?
Bitch never learned how to swim. What the fuck is this shit? Like, no! No!
I never learned how to swim.
You're telling me that in all this time on this planet, you never once had the need, nor the inkling, nor the desire to learn how to swim?
For the conveniences of the plot, I cannot swim.
God damn it. God, it's fucking frustrating.
It irks you, doesn't it?
Yes.
And then Salieri. We have Salieri. On this movie,
dude,
and it rips me apart because I really love Amadeus. I actually like that film. It's really good.
Oh, dude, it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, it's just great, and I love his performance in it, and like how he's like jealous and everything else. And then this,
go ahead, mock me if you will. But it wasn't Picard who was laughing at me. It was God. No, like, there's a double cross in that movie where basically, like, they think that they're on the Enterprise bridge, but they're actually still on their own ship. Because, like, I don't know, holodeck motherfucker or whatever. And then, like, they're like, oh, God, they've left. And, like, he's hearing that over the intercom, and he's just like... Like, and I'm like...
I'm sorry, is Pepsi okay? I'm sorry. We at Panera Bread, we stopped making the Chipotle sandwich. It's like different situations you could put that in.
I don't know, like, oh, well, McDonald's is going to serve breakfast all day, but we don't serve biscuits.
but we don't serve the McGriddle. Yeah, like, seriously.
It just gets all the sadder.
And that's the other thing. That movie, I mean, I would think... there's some parts that really make me mad, but most of it is just hysterical without meaning to be.
And
some of it is meant to be, but most of
that,
it is...
That kid at the end who's just like, remember, Data, you gotta play at least once every day. I'm like... Okay, kid. Get there. Okay, fine. Fine. I will play at least once a day.
Oh, man.
Oh my God.
I think we need what?
Hold on. I have my entry though.
Okay.
What, you know what I think is the worst Star Trek movie of all time? All
right, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I could say Insurrection. I could say Nemesis. I could say the motion picture. Certainly the motion picture is fucking boring. It is really boring.
That's got really good music.
But for me, the absolute worst Star Trek movie of all time, period, has got to be Star Trek V. Directed by one William Shatner. Basically, Shatner was just like, you know, I have an idea for Scotty. And I have an idea for the way that everything is. What happens?
You have awful tact.
What
makes you a lousy psychiatrist?
What happens when the Enterprise meets God? And it's like, I don't know, Bill. What the fuck happens when they meet God?
They use Priceline.com to get to where they're
doing. Like, okay, look. Basically, we get, you know, like, Uhura in her 50s/60s dancing sexy... We get, what else do we get in this movie? We also get, we get a three-boobed cat lady, because I guess they saw Total Recall. Total Recall came after that. What are you going to do? But, we also get, again, apparently Spock has a half-human brother. Well, he's half-human too. What am I talking about? But basically, he has a brother who's just like, hey, brother, guess what? I'm fucking awesome, because I'm basically Jesus, and I'm going to take us to God. And it's like... Okay, cool. What does any of this have to do with fucking anything? We get this side plot with Scotty and Uhura, where basically you've never once seen them show any kind of affection other than like, oh yeah, she's my friend kind of thing throughout the entire series. And all of a sudden they're flirting with each other, and then that plot line goes nowhere. And then Scotty's just an ignoramus who doesn't even know the you know, he's like, I know this ship like the back of my hand, and like hits his head on a girder. And I'm like, really? Like, ooh.
Like, what the hell?
But it's bad. It's so bad. Like, the special effects in that movie are so freaking god-awful. It was like someone took a blue screen and was just like, okay, we can vector this once, and then, okay, I guess we're good. And, like, didn't even bother to, like, clean up anything. Anyways, I just kind of went on. It's been so long since I've seen that movie. My brain hurts whenever I think about it.
Well,
And I know how disjointed that review just sounded, but you gotta understand, there is, like, no resolution to that movie whatsoever.
And it's just...
There's no
resolution. No resolution at all.
There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Nobody learns anything. You know, basically, you know, Bones, Kirk, and Spock go camping, and then they're like, well, shit, we gotta go, you know, we have to go do this thing, and then at the very end, they go back to camping. So the whole thing is literally them going like, well, you know, we gotta put our camping trip on hold, let's take care of this thing, all right, back to camping.
like, what the hell?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to review The Man Trap.
Ooh.
Oh my.
I'd say that's my favorite title ever.
Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios' Amazon page. Save up to 50% on your favorite music, movies, and more by going to castwavestudios.com/Amazon. Help this show and save money at the same time. Bookmark and click through today at castwavestudios.com/Amazon.
And we're back.
That gentleman sounded familiar.
I think I know him from somewhere.
He sounds like a cool guy.
Back to the review. yeah. Okay. The Man Trap, and this episode, I'll just give you a introduction about this one. It aired...
To introduce The Man Trap.
To introduce The Man Trap! It's introduced in... it was original air date, September 8th of 1966.
Mm.
It was directed by Mark Daniels.
Mm.
And written by George Clayton and George Clayton Johnson. And, let's see. Though it was first aired, it was not the first produced. The pilot, Where No Man Has Gone Before, and several regular episodes have been produced before it. The current original official timeline considers No Man Before to be set first. So, but we're going with the basically kind of the Netflix that I said.
It's weird because different box sets have arranged these episodes in different, like, for instance, some box sets will arrange them the way that they were aired, and then the one box set that I have of season one was when they were produced. So it's weird.
And also some interesting facts during the production of this episode. During the production, they called it the Unreal McCoy.
And we'll get into that later. There's a reason why.
And it's a name that refers to the M113 creature taking form of Dr. McCoy. So, we got shapeshifters in this. I guess we'll go over kind of like the kind of main meat of the plot, Brian. You can explain it in your best of words.
Yay. Yeah. I love explaining things.
Words.
Yeah, it's words and things and adjectives and stuff. Oh, my. Kirk, McCoy, and Ensign Ricky, basically.
Also wearing McCoy's same color as McCoy's shirt.
Yeah. All go down to this planet because there was a message that they received that McCoy's old flame was on this planet.
Right.
And we could get into all the nuances of why they went down there, but long story short, basically they thought that there was a disturbance call being, you know, sent down there, and it turns out certainly there's a gentleman there who is requiring the assistance of the Federation, but he's also telling them to leave, which is weird. But then long story short, this monster, or rather this woman that shows up, is taking the guise of three different women whenever a different crew member of the Enterprise takes a look at her.
Yeah, like every time they look at her, it looks like a little bit aged, or...
Which is funny, because later on, that's not the way it worked on the Enterprise.
Exactly.
It was literally like, it would take a shape, and everybody thought it was McCoy, or it was somebody else. Which, yeah. Which I was like, that's odd. That's an inconsistency, because, like... It's not.
Right. We're not gonna like spoil the episode for you, but the basic gist of it, she's a shapeshifter.
Yes.
And you know, they it's interesting for them, yeah, dealing with
that. They rail home this whole thing about how, like, well, it's as beautiful as a buffalo because it's the last of its kind, and I'm like, buffaloes are extinct. What? Okay.
Oh yeah, that it's extinct. It's the last of a kind. Like, the reason why it's extinct is everyone keeps on shooting them because they keep on depleting salt from everything.
Yeah, basically the long story short is Ensign Ricky, also known as the unimportant guy who shows up with the rest of the party
that doesn't have a name,
is found dead, and all of a sudden, you know, Kirk is raising questions and going like, "Well, why did this happen?" And I have a crew member dead, yeah. So you're coming with questioning and. Certainly, they're like, we most certainly will not. And so McCoy does run some tests and can't find out what's wrong with him. Then they find out, oh, well, yeah, there's a salt depletion going. This person's been depleted of all of their salt. Any salt in their body that, you know, they naturally need to survive. We need iodine in our systems to survive. So apparently Spock doesn't work that way. And later on, Spock is, you know, a victim because... this monster winds up on the Enterprise, and they're like, oh, well, obviously it's on board, because we have a witness here. And I don't know, it's... basically, it's a cat-and-mouse game the entire episode. And finally, the cat's out of the bag at the end of the episode, and stuff happens. I don't know. I'm running out of ways to describe this episode.
Exactly. All right. So we're going to move on to, like, our, you know, one of eight
because
topics.
I'm so over just going over every plot point of an
I said we're not going to spoil it. So yeah. let's just continue,
okay,
with the entire thing, mm-hmm, here.
Yeah. Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Negative. No reserve beryllium sphere exists on board.
No, we have no extra beryllium sphere on board.
You know, that is really getting annoying.
Look, I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Sure, no problem.
I'm gonna shorten that later, but basically, that's this is engineering.
Yes.
Basically, we're gonna go over the special effects of the show.
You need to change that to Captain. That'd be whales here.
I probably should do that. Captain, I'm detecting whale song. That's what.
We will absolutely talk about Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home one day, because that is like one of the best.
Let's save that show.
Oh my god, that's gonna be amazing. That's gonna be amazing.
Just some dude.
Just do the whole episode in whale song. Okay, here's our review. Here's our review of the movie.
Dude, this podcast is so good.
Dude, they're talking about some deep shit here. I don't think you get it.
So anyway, the special effects in the show. I thought they held up pretty well, even though we were watching the, I would say, the equivalent of the special edition.
It's, you can still get the original, that's the good thing about this. It's like,
that's the good thing about the Star Trek version.
It's not like Gene Roddenberry was just like, well, you know, I have a vision for Star Trek, and, You know, personally, I think that
I have a vision for Star Trek, and I want everybody to see Red Dutch on each of the crew's faces. And like, no, that makes no fucking sense. Why would you do that?
What are you, Carl Sagan now?
That's Gene Roddenberry.
Oh, it sounded like Carl Sagan. Billions and, well, I don't
billions
know.
Of stars.
No. Or Casey Kasem, actually.
Maybe it's billions of stars. I don't know.
Keep your feet on the ground.
And your ass to the stars. I think the special... What do you think? I mean, in terms of, like, phasers, stuff like that, special effects.
I mean, obviously, they reused some props from, plops. They reused some, the horse from the first episode's back.
We're over.
They reused the phaser from the cage as one of the villain's guns, which is cool. You know, you gotta cut corners somewhere.
Yeah. It was a good shout out.
But it was cool because here's something that's really neat about this first episode, is that it's literally everything coming together to create the Star Trek that you remember. You get Kirk in the shadows with that like weird lighting from the background, like creating that kind of weird like foreshadowing looking face that he always has.
Yeah, it's got some sharp lighting.
You get the Enterprise fully painted the way that it should be. You get the original phasers for the first time. You get
original uniforms.
Oh my god, the blue, gray, blue, gold, and red. I mean, it's beautiful to see, especially after having watched
everything,
the cage.
Everything kind of falls into place.
It does, and it's funny enough. By the way, this is DeForest Kelly's first episode. Period.
Hmm.
What's also funny is that Montgomery Scott is in Where No Man Has Gone Before, but he's nowhere to be seen in this episode. He's just not there. I think they brought him back later.
Yeah, because no one was concerned with engineering or
pretty much. But he would show up later on in the season, and of course, no Chekhov until season two. As far as the special effects go, I mean. Obviously, it's a little rudimentary because how the hell else are you gonna, make it look like, oh well, this person's had suction cups on their face that salt's been poured through. It looks like they literally took like a paintbrush and went, all right, here you go, and there's a little circle right there.
Bob Ross.
And we're gonna put a happy little circle right here.
A happy little face right there. If you tell anyone that circle's there, I'm coming to your house and I'll cut you.
With this brush right here. I don't know. The special effects were par for the course usually that, Star Trek is known for. I don't know. They weren't bad. The eventual reveal of the monster in this episode, I mean, the costume, I mean, come on. Like, not. I guess it's spoilers. So if you don't want to, then, skip, 10 seconds ahead. But basically, it's Chewbacca if he fucked an octopus. It really is.
Oh man,
it's like it's a Yeti with like these suction cups on its fingers, and I guess it just loves or needs salt because it's in this barren wasteland with or no iodine or
no salt.
There's no salt.
How can you not have salt?
I don't know. I mean,
I guess it's something we take for granted, eating popcorn and pretzels.
I mean, sometimes it's almost like we have too much salt in our systems or something.
Yeah, we have plenty of it over here.
Yeah. Oh God. We just can't get it out of our water.
Contains sodium.
Mm-hmm.
Ionization and UV light. Anyway. In terms of how everything came together, I'm giving this a good score, like a 9,
yeah.
Not like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll give it that as well. Yeah. It's definitely
for what it accomplished in its time,
especially being the first episode,
yeah,
proper of Star Trek. I mean, and it really is the first episode proper of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Some people would say Where No Man Has Gone Before, but then again, you still have, I don't know, Spock is just kind of off in that episode as well. The uniforms again are off, and I don't know, it just. This is where we really get to see classic Star Trek begin.
Exactly.
Which is amazing. And, I'll give it a 9 as well.
Cool. All right, so next we have the bridge, which we'll be able to focus on, you know, story and so forth. Sorry, it was so loud. Anyway, that's in
account. My ears!
So, for this, I really thought it was a decent story. It was very engaging. Better than the cage.
Oh my god! It didn't move at a snail's pace, which was amazing.
Things actually happened. I'm just like sitting there, like, because before when we were watching the cage, I noticed we were talking through it more, and we were like kind of doing other things. We're like, is this going to be over already? Mm-hmm. And then this one, we're like, just sitting there.
Yeah, this one actually felt like, you know, it was about as long as, you know, the ETA was, which was an hour, which was good, because again, like I said in the last episode, I thought the cage felt like it was 2 fucking hours long.
It really did.
It did. It just did, because it just dragged ass just the whole time.
It just felt like, you know...
It was kind of like...
like The Hobbit.
Oh my god. I mean, because spoilers, basically, we're doing a movie commentary called with Jingle All the Way coming up soon. Yeah. Which, by the way, we'll plug that at the end, and you can get more information on castwaystudios.com for that. But long story short, watching that movie multiple times, trying to get all the jokes, it feels really short, even though it's like only it's about 2 hours.
Yeah,
but it's not. It doesn't feel like that at all. The cage felt like it almost felt like. When you're sitting in the room, it almost feels like when you're a kid and you're sitting in a room with your dad and he's watching some boring history documentary and you're just like, I want to watch cartoons. He's like, just wait until this is over. And you're just like, ugh.
Oh, fine.
God.
This sucks.
I'll just go look at your Playboys. God. Whereas this one was more like...
What was your house like?
You don't want to know. But like... I don't know.
Yeah, it was decent. The captain was smug as fuck, man. We'll get on that later in the captain's quarters, but like,
oh dude, by the way, first proper introduction of, well, maybe not, but like first real Kirk being Kirk moment here.
Well, we'll go over in a second here. But but in terms of like the acting was pretty solid. I mean, it was definitely the acting was solid.
The acting was solid.
Solid mass liquids, but of energy.
But there were points where it started to get into like, oh, that corny bullshit that like we all know Star Trek for, which was, you know, at the end where like, you know, Kirk is like, you know, he's finally escaped the clutches of this monster, and like he lays down and he's just like, oh, and he's like almost like crying or whatever instead of like actually fainting. Like he like exactly. puts his head down like he's playing like Heads Up 7-Up. And he's supposed to be, like, fainting, like, oh, God, I'm hurt so bad. Where he's just like, and one of the things I absolutely love, and, like, as someone who wants to be an actor one day, one of the things I absolutely love is when something takes the identity of, you know, a well-known cast member. I love the idea of playing yourself, but as, you know... something completely different. Like, for instance, this thing takes the identity of Bones. Okay? So, it doesn't know exactly how Bones acts. Not necessarily. It doesn't know how, you know, all the different mannerisms of Bones. It doesn't understand, you know, like, all the different complex relationships that he has with members on the crew. So, that's really interesting as somebody who studies acting.
The unreal McCoy.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, I'd love to be able to be, like, one day, like, if we ever did, like, a Castaway Studios movie or whatever, and, like, I get possessed by some, like, alien pods for or whatever, and, like, you guys are just like, hey, Brian, what's up? I'm like, hello, gentlemen, how are you? You know, it's like, something's fucking wrong with Brian. Like, I don't, you know.
I just imagine you coming in, people like, hey, Brian, just listen to this joke. And then, like, I'll tell, like, some nasty, like, dick joke or whatever. And then, like, usually you would laugh.
Uh-huh.
Like, you would laugh. I'd be like, I find that humorous.
Or the thing that would really raise a red flag is,
that's
like,
funny.
You tell the dick joke, and then I just look at you and go, oh, Sean, grow the fuck up. And I walk away. Ding, ding, ding. It's like, dude, what the hell happened to Brian? You know.
So
it's humorous, gentlemen. Exactly. Really, it's funny. It's hilarious.
It's humorous. So, all right, the acting. I'm gonna go out of 30. This one's out of 30. So, I'm gonna go 21 out of 30.
I'll go with 17.
All right, so we're gonna go with a 20.
Yeah. Let's go with a 20. I mean, it's
20 out of 30. 2 out of 3. All right, so they got 2 out of 3 on that one. All right, so next. Let's see, a good old death count here. A lot more than the cage.
Oh my god. So...
the nature of the medical emergency.
Let me grab my notes here. Okay, so I counted, and, before redshirting was even a thing, and not to be confused with the red shirt, in which case, go please consult your medical advisor, or a doctor, because obviously you've eaten way too much Chipotle.
But
so
it's
there's,
worth it.
There's literally no...
There's no what?
Well, there are no red shirt deaths in this entire episode, which
is insane. Is there any red shirts?
There's red shirts. We have science. We have security officers throughout
red shirts. They just sit there,
and like no red shirt dies. So obviously, this was yet to be a thought that people would put into the script. But we do have two blue shirts who die. We have two gold shirts who died. The main male baddie dies, and we have a Wookiee crossbred with a squid dying as well. So in total, we have 6 deaths in this entire episode.
And in terms of the style of deaths, most of them were found dead.
Yes, most of them were found dead, with suction cup marks all over their face. Almost as if they're Aunt Edith, which is like, oh my god, Booby, come here, I need to kiss all over you, I haven't seen you all week. He's like, ugh, stop.
Little pudding man. We'll go with give that a 6. 6 bodies out of 10.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Well, also, if I come to the conclusion that more than 10 died in an episode...
Are we going to start giving out bonus points then?
We'll give out bonus points.
Mm.
More than 10.
Oh my god, what's going to happen when that freaking virus...
And I have to play something for all the the people who died in that episode. Okay. I had to do that.
Good. But
you seem so.
I was waiting for you to do it like 6 times. I was gonna be like the 3rd time. I was gonna be like, Sean, it's time to stop.
Welsh it. I might do that later.
No.
All right. So so that's 6 out of 10. That leads to the transporter room.
Emily's inside out.
I heard that. It turned inside out.
And it exploded.
Yay. that's one of my favorite. If you don't know what movie that's from, and
they should know.
Yeah, dude, Galaxy Quest is amazing.
It is.
That's one of my favorite lines in that movie. Just and it exploded.
So this transporter room is basically for travel, obviously. So this will be kind of like dictate like if they went anywhere. It seems like they went to one planet in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what.
Well, they didn't really need to go anywhere necessarily.
In terms of the travel, they didn't really go much of anywhere.
Well, I mean, that's kind of par for the course with Star Trek. It's like they'll go to a planet, situation will occur, they have a problem that they need to solve, they'll solve it, and then they'll fucking leave for the next course.
What do you think? Like 8 out of 10?
Yeah.
All right, sounds good to me. Alrighty, and so next would be Captain's Quarters. I do this.
I like your style.
And so we got that.
Would you like some champagne?
Exactly. That'll come later. And the captain. Kirk, buddy. Kirk.
Yes.
He is Kirky. Kirk in his Kirkness. In his Shatner. Shatner.
Would you say that he...
School of Acting.
Would you say that he Kirked out?
Hmm. He's the smug son of a bitch in this.
Oh yeah,
smug son of a bitch.
Well, what did you like about his performance?
I think he was a really good performance. He's a captain who didn't take any shit. He was concerned about his own crew and less concerned about what the doc had to do with his his emotional problems.
Right.
Like, you know,
it's
you know,
nice
you
to have a captain that wants to be there.
That wants to be there, but also says, like, stop thinking with your glands. Like, stop thinking with your balls, essentially.
He says, damn it, doctor, stop thinking with your glands. And I'm like, that means penis. You know.
He's like, stop thinking with your dick and help us out. And start thinking with your brain. So, like, I liked him. And I think he did, you know, stand-up job for his first outing.
Bones, there's only one head that you need to think with right now. And it's not the one in your pants. Just saying.
Stop thinking with your glands. I say, let's give this a good old 9 out of 10.
Alright. Yeah. I'll give him a 10 out of 10 on this one, because this was a really standout performance for him.
Okay. 10 out of 10.
He did really good on that.
Let's do it. 10 out of 10. And so next, we have Battle Stations. Alrighty. So,
and also known as the sound I hear every time I have diarrhea.
Warning, diarrhea.
I hear that in my head every time.
Diarrhea. Make it to the bathroom before it's too late.
Keep it going. Diarrhea is a storm raging inside of you.
Anyway, action. It was good. It was okay action in this. I like the phaser battles.
We get the first double-handed punch from Spock.
That was hysterical.
Which was amazing. We get to see a lot more of that as
I
time
want,
goes
like,
on.
A gif of that. Like, take me out to the ballgame.
I don't care if I ever come back, Captain. Now, what's cool, too, is how basically Spock is overpowered by this damn thing. The only problem is, if you were watching this for the first time ever, and you had no idea of what, you know, Spock's physical parameters were, you'd just be like, oh, well, he's obviously, you know, kind of... Which is actually kind of not a bad thing, because what happens
kinda is... Kind of what? Like, kind of weak?
Okay, here's the thing. You have Spock, and you and I both know that Spock is way stronger than Kirk.
Oh, yeah, because he's
a Vulcan. We know this. But the audience didn't back in the day, and basically this kind of like depowered him, because you have something that's so much stronger than Spock is that it almost seems like, well, obviously he's the same kind of strength mechanic that we are, where he's around the same strength, and because we couldn't overpower this thing, obviously Spock can't either. It wasn't until afterwards, when you find Spock like beating the crap out of Kirk, that you're like, holy shit, that thing could have fucking killed Kirk.
Right.
That thing could have fucking killed Kirk with, like, one punch.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Like, exactly.
So, it was actually kind of cool the way that they did that. And who knows, maybe that was, you know, because I don't know. I like to talk about, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, maybe that was a decision that happened, like, way later on. Who knows? Bunch of guys sitting at a table going, like, okay, guys, I have an idea. But...
All right.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. What else?
Oh, battle stations. Let's see. I guess. I think that was pretty much it. I'm gonna give them a good 8 out of 10.
I'll give it a 6.
You get a 6, then we're going to 7.
Seven out of ten. It's when things started getting a little hammy, but it was still fun.
It's still fun, but hammy. All right. Next. We have the aliens. I thought the. It was a good design on the suit.
For the
final reveal.
Mm-hmm. Its mouth was weird.
It was weird. It was very, very weird, and it was just. It looked like it was like just puckered lips. He's like.
It either looked like a rejected Pokemon, or it looked like a vagina with teeth.
It really did. Look at the vaginal dentia or whatever that is. Yeah, it was interesting. I think that's pretty much the only alien was on there besides the ones in the main credits and the end credits.
Can we talk about that, please?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That end credit sequence, it's literally just scenes from the cage, which is weird. Okay.
I saw that. I'm just like, wait a second.
I lost my shit.
Let's watch the credits.
Like, no, here's my thing. Okay, I get it that they weren't able to come up with they might not have been able to come up with a credit package. You know, that day, who knows? I don't know. I don't know when the fuck this went to air. Like, I don't know how long they took. But here's my thing. you have stuff that nobody saw before. Like, I don't know. I'm the kind of guy, personally, I'm the kind of guy who sees that kind of footage in the credits if I have never seen that episode before, and they never fucking aired it until, like, 1988. And I'm like, where's that episode, and why did I miss it? Where's that episode? I can't find it. Where's this episode? Who are these people? What happened in that episode? Where's this green lady? Who is this green lady? Where's this castle thing? Like, and,
well, what's this lady with like this big head?
Who is this person?
Where's this person with the big head?
And are we gonna see her again or something? Where? And nope, not at all. That shit drives me crazy. I hate that.
That would drove you nuts if you was in the 60s.
If it was in the 60s and I was seeing that all the time, and like nobody had an answer for me at all, like that's the kind of shit that drove people to conventions where they're just like, yeah, I actually have a question about this. Who is that green lady in the beginning or at the end credits? Because nobody knew and nobody had the internet back in the day. So it's like, you know, you could try and reference stuff, and who knows, maybe there were reference manuals. There were books that came out for Star Trek all the time. I know that much. But again, you watch this episode and you're like, who the hell are these people?
And why is that the end credits?
Like, none of these people are Kirk or Spock or Scotty. Where's the Enterprise? Is this a completely different show that I'm watching the end credits for? And it turns out, yes, it is. So
Aliens, we're going to give it like a 6 out of 10. I'm on the business, man. Star Trek business.
Yes.
6 out of 10.
Yes, we will.
And then, like, the bad guys.
Same. I mean, it was okay. This villain was supposed to be a sympathetic villain in that, you know, oh well, it just, you know, it only attacks when it, you know, needs to feed or it's hungry or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Fine, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, that end credit, like, what the fuck, man?
That made no goddamn sense.
Made no sense. I think.
What do you think?
I think we're starting to run out. But I will say that this episode,
it's been a long.
It's
week.
Got 72 points out of 100, which means it's got a C.
Wow!
It's got a C. 72%.
Go figure.
Way to go for first one starting out. You know, you're getting good grades.
Mm-hmm.
Getting above 50%.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
So,
it's not an A.
Man Trap has got a C. 72. Yeah.
Now I'm curious. If you can give him a little taste. What's the next episode that we should watch after those?
The next is going to be the one following it. The series in terms of what's next in the.
What's the name of the episode?
I'm trying to find out. I am currently looking that up.
Oh,
well, hey, Brian. Where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Well, you can find me on Vine.com as Orange Hat Man, and I make funny videos every once in a blue moon. I'm trying to get back into it. I took a little sabbatical from it a while back, but I'm back on there, and it's a lot of fun. You can find me on YouTube at One Drunk Geek. Castaway Studios has its own YouTube channel, and we're uploading all kinds of stuff there. We're also doing a first-time failures now. Good friend of the studio, Sean Murphy, and myself and Colin and another friend, a new friend of ours, is going to... We're all going to play video games and talk shit about them.
All right. So next episode, we're going to do Charlie X.
Oh, man. That's going to be kind of hard to get through.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to get through it.
Yeah.
And then we'll have some top lists or mm-hmm. any other Star Trek minutia to discuss.
Oh, yeah. That's an episode that typically whenever I'm doing like a marathon of Star Trek, I tend to skip.
Yeah.
Just because it's not one of my favorites, but...
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Nothing really. There's nothing really much you can do.
We're going to talk about it, though, because that's the five-year mission.
And that's the five-year mission, and that's the prime directive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this is going to be a kind of fun podcast here.
Yeah.
Looking to the future.
I mean, definitely, you know, we're starting to hit our stride on this. So.
We are. And it's way less foul-ups than the first episode.
I know. Is your phone off?
Yes, my phone's off this time. I was kidding. You got a little South Park in my Star Trek.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, where can we find you on the World Wide Wibbles?
You can find me on Twitter, and that's at Sean L. Holmes. You can also find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, always have, but go ahead, look me up, Sean Holmes.
Yay.
And add me as a friend.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
So Ronery.
And you also, I'm so Ronery. Poor riddle me. And also, you can go to castwaystudios.com/Amazon and buy your Christmas stuff.
And your Hanukkah stuff. And your Hanukkah Life Day stuff, too.
And your Life Day stuff. Don't forget your Life
Day. Don't forget
stuff.
Life Day. It's coming up soon.
And for your Life Day, there's a ton of stuff you can get on ThinkGeek.
Yes.
The rest, too.
Now, just to go ahead and put it out there real fast, we're actually going to be doing a little something for charity coming up here. I believe it's on the 20th. It's called AltCom. We're going to be reviewing Jingle All the Way, but not before doing a live Christmas episode of Boldly Going Nowhere. Two cans of any kinds of canned food will get you a seat in the door. $10 will also get you in as well.
$10 will guarantee you a seat.
Absolutely. Come on out, check it out. It's going to be a fun time. We're actually going to have a special guest with us.
Yep.
Which is going to be fun. And I can't wait for that. It's going to be hilarious.
Awesome.
I think.
Well, it's been good. And so live long and podcast.
Logging off.
I'm the Captain Sean Holmes.
First Officer Brian Massey.
This is the Prime Directive.